the brilliant college football mind, the easily, hands down, the greatest college football preview magazine that you can get your hands on. And that, of course, the genius of Phil Steele. How are you, Phil?
I am doing great, Matt. Great to talk to you again, my friend. And good to talk to you as well, DJ.
Big deal for both of us, of course. And now, Phil, you can see him all the time as college football gets rolling on ESPN, on television. And, Phil, we'll start it off here, the Big 12. Your teams this year, and I don't know if this will surprise anybody, but your Final Four prediction does not include a Big 12 team yet again. Why is that? What is it about the Big 12 that doesn't have them quite on that same level yet as the other conferences?
Well, you know, right now I've got, I think it's really a five-team battle for first place in the Big 12 this year, and I think it's going to be tough for any of the teams to escape the season unbeaten. You look at a team like Oklahoma, for example, second week of the year they have to play Ohio State on the road, so a loss in that one, get a whole bunch of one-loss conference champs at the end of the year, that would weigh pretty heavily. And Oklahoma also has a couple other tough games. The five teams I think all have a shot: Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, TCU, and Texas, and they may be knocking each other off a little bit. I don't know if we're going to get that one dominant team coming out of a conference like the other conferences. I mean, I have Ohio State favored in all 12 of their games this year. I have USC favored in all 12 of their games. I have Alabama favored in all 12 of their games. I do not have any Big 12 team favored in all 12.
You brought up Texas there, and there's a lot of excitement in the Metroplex regarding the regime change with Tom Herman moving in there. Why does Tom Herman have such a significant advantage over Charlie Strong of whenever he came in here to take over this huge job?
Well, I think Charlie built the team the right way. They just didn't get it done on the football field, so I think Tom Herman steps into a pretty good situation. I mean, you look at the defensive line. These guys look pretty good getting off the bus. They've got size, speed, athleticism. Same thing with the secondary. They look great coming off the bus. They're very talented across the board. I'm sort of stunned that last year, Charlie Strong, a defensive mind, and his defense gave up 31.5 points per game. I think Todd Orlando's going to look pretty good this year with the amount of talent they have on the defensive side of the ball. And offensively, they no longer have a true freshman quarterback like they did last year. They've got an improved offensive line. And Tom Herman's a guy that always gets the most out of his team. Going back to Houston, they actually took on six ranked teams during his tenure at Houston. How about a perfect 6-0? And Houston's a Group of Five team. Now he's got great talent to work with at Texas. And I think that makes him a Big 12 contender. I don't think they're going to win the Big 12 this year. I think they're probably a step away from that. But I think it's going to be a year for Longhorn fans to finally stick their chin out a little bit.
Kind of curious how you view the loss at OU of Bob Stoops. How does that affect the program? Or is it just one of those situations? You just mentioned Charlie Strong left the cupboard full for Herman. The cupboard very full at OU. Will Lincoln Riley be able to pick up right where Stoops left off?
And I like the timing of the change as well. Generally, when you get a first-year head coach, you know, he's got to come in, he's got to learn the player's strengths and weaknesses, especially a first-time head coach like Lincoln Riley. He's got to learn how to take the team through spring practice. Then he's got to learn how to get the team ready for the season. Bob Stoops took care of all that. Lincoln Riley's very familiar with the team. They still have their offensive coordinator, still have their defensive coordinator. Stoops took them all the way through spring practice, got them ready for the season, then stepped out. So I think Lincoln Riley steps into a really good situation in that respect. Plus, there's plenty of talent. I thought the defense underachieved last year. This year with seven starters back, plenty of talent over there. I think they'll be much stronger. And offensively, they got my best offensive line in the country, quarterback in Baker Mayfield. And when I talked to Coach Riley last week and we were going over the running backs, one of my major concerns, losing Mixon and Pirine, he thinks they go five deep at running back. Very happy with what he's got at the running back core to work with. And while they don't have a D.D. Westbrook, it's going to be probably a deeper receiving core and done more by committee this year. So this is a very dangerous Oklahoma team. And, you know, the folks at the Big 12, I think, are thinking that the Big 12 title game is going to be Oklahoma-Oklahoma State. They took Bedlam, which has always played that last week of the year, and moved it up to November 4th, probably so we don't have an immediate rematch.
Brought up Baker Mayfield there, and there's no denying the talent that he brings to the field whenever he's out there, but he has had a little bit of a tumultuous offseason where he had the arrest. Is there any concern that Baker Mayfield maybe isn't the squeaky clean play caller that a lot of people were making him out to be before?
Yeah, I don't get too concerned about that, especially when it happened when it did. I could see if something like that happened in August, it may have an impact on the year, but happening when it did, I think he'll be just fine for the upcoming year. And really, if his focus is on the football field, which it will be this year, I think he'll do quite well. And I know that Coach Riley, very high on what Mayfield's going to do this season.
It's Matt McLaren, DJ Ringenberg, talking to college football guru Phil Steele. Of course, you can get his preview magazine and watch his work as well on ESPN. We're here on 103.3 FM ESPN Radio. Phil, you kind of look at, and you talked about this a little bit, the idea that some of these Big 12 teams are going to have a very difficult time going through the season being favored, much less winning all their games. A couple of these big early matchups. TCU's got Arkansas, Texas has USC, Oklahoma, Ohio State. Is that a good thing to schedule like this, or in this case, is it something that may hurt the Big 12 this season?
I think for the Big 12 to land that open spot, if all things are equal, in other words, if we have a bunch of one-loss teams contending for it, or a bunch of undefeated teams, or, you know, like a few years ago, maybe a couple of two-loss teams, but I think it would probably be one loss. It's better to have the bigger games and to prove yourself on the field. And, you know, things can change in college football. You go back and look at the SEC at pretty much been the best conference the last 10 years, but last year the ACC had the best records, both during the regular season and conference versus conference games, and then, of course, in the bowls. And the Big 12 is always down there at the bottom, so the reputation is against them. I think they need games like this and need to win games like this to really boost the conference's profile.
So you say that tradition over the last couple of years, Big 12 has certainly been down there at the bottom. How would you preseason rank the conferences based on strength, Power 5 conferences?
You know, and I'll preface it in the fact that things can change at the blink of an eye. For example, if Alabama had defeated Clemson last year in the national championship game, and looking at all the factors I have, odds are the SEC would have been voted the number one conference again because it was all that close, where basically that final game of the season determined it. After the regular season, a lot of pundits across the country thought the Big Ten was the best conference out there because they had four top ten teams. But I look at the SEC reclaiming it as number one. To me, the strength of the SEC is at the bottom. You look at the bottom of the SEC West, you're looking at Mississippi State, Mississippi. Look at the bottom of the SEC East, you're looking at Vanderbilt, maybe a Kentucky or a Missouri. All those are bowl-caliber teams, and I think that gives them the edge. There's no Rutgers like there is in the Big Ten and some other weak teams at the bottom of the conferences, like a Kansas in the Big 12. Then my number two conference heading into the year is the ACC, followed by the Big Ten, followed by the Pac-12. And then right now I do have the Big Ten, or the Big 12, I should say, number five. But things can change in the blink of an eye if they can win some of those non-conference games coming in. And, you know, one pet peeve I do have is when folks are comparing, and I wrote an article on this on ESPN.com, when folks are comparing the Big 12 to the other conferences, they go, oh, look at the amount of draft picks. Well, there's only 10 teams in the Big 12. There's 14 in the others. So you really have to divide by the amount of teams you have and then multiply it out so that everybody's on the same path. But even when you do that, the Big 12 last year still came in number five in that category.
Yeah, definitely lacking in talent, at least at the NFL level last year. You mentioned the SEC West. That, of course, is where we find Texas A&M, the flagship station, of course, here, ESPN Radio 103.3 FM, for Texas A&M football. Can Kevin Sumlin save his job this year? Does A&M find a way to at least be competitive in the SEC West?
Yeah, I think it's going to take at least 9 wins for someone to still be around at the end of the year. I think another 8-4, 8-5 season, not going to cut it for him, as AD came pretty much out and said that. And really, a little bit is Kevin Sumlin's fault. He stepped into it and it did so well early, and then has done so well early in the first half of the season, raising everybody's hopes. Remember when the playoff poll came out last year, A&M was number four. They were in the playoffs, and then finished the season 8-5 and unranked, actually each of the last 3 years. That's really hurt him a little bit. I like the talent A&M has. We're going to have to see who emerges at that quarterback spot. Will it be Starkel or Mond? Whoever does, I think, needs to have that big year. They do have Christian Kirk. I like Trevion Williams and Keith Ford. The offensive line looks solid. Biggest question marks on defense, is who's going to be replacing that defensive end combo, Deshaun Hall and Miles Garrett. But the Aggies have the talent. When I look at their schedule, though, I've got them an underdog against Bama, at Florida this year, at LSU. Auburn, there might be a dog. UCLA is a toss-up game. So there's a lot of games where they're going to have to win those close ones to keep someone around next year. But, you know, naturally, upset Alabama at home, they're in contention for the West. I just don't think that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I think an Alabama win, I think that might solve a lot of his problems this upcoming season. But What do you think the biggest problem has been for Kevin Sumlin during his time at Texas A&M? Because as you said, bringing in talent has never been the problem, and making that transition to a much tougher conference, as you said, the top conference in college football as of right now. Why has Kevin Sumlin not been able to convert those factors into more success on the field?
Yeah, it's been what's ever happened. I mean, granted, the second half of the season the last 4 years, the schedule's gotten tougher. All of a sudden, teams like Alabama and LSU and Auburn are popping up on the schedule in the second half of the year, whereas they weren't there in the first half of the year. And that's been, you know, the raised expectations, getting this team into the top 10 each and every week. But it just seems like the team wears down a little bit at the end of the year. Now he's got, brand new strength coach this year. We'll see how that goes. And while John Chavis's defense gets maligned, and you like to say, hey, it's the defense, they've only given up 22 and 24 points per game the last 3 years. So you can't pin it on the defense. Last year, they outscored their opponents by basically 10 points per game, still ended up just 8-5. It's just been how they finished the seasons, and they've got to finish this season stronger.
All right, one more here for you, Phil, as we close you out. SMU, we had Chad Morris on the show last week. Is he the guy that's turning this thing in the right direction? It seems like it, and it still feels, though, like it's a stepping stone for him that he won't be there much longer.
I'm going to agree with you in both points. I think Chad Morris is turning this team around greatly. You look at last year, getting them to a 5-7 record. And, while there were some blowout losses there, there was also some pretty good games, like that South Florida game. They only lost by 8 during the season. I thought they played TCU and Baylor. And you look at the first half scores of those games, they played them even up, just wore down in the second half. Now, 9 returning starters on offense, 5 on defense. It's definitely his best team he's put on the field. The schedule is not easy. They figure to be an underdog against TCU, at Houston, potentially at Cincinnati, Tulsa, at Navy, at Memphis. But I think they've got a great shot. In fact, I am calling for them to get to a bowl game this year, the Heart of Dallas Bowl, actually, which I think would give them some fans. But yeah. I think if Chad Morris gets this SMU program to that level, yeah, he'll be using it as a stepping stone. I don't think we're going to see Chad Morris here 10 years from now or 5 years from now.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if that A&M job does open up, how appealing that would be for Chad Morris to go back over there. So I guess we'll find out as this season plays out.
Yes, we will. That's a fun thing about college football. It takes so many twists and turns during the course of the year. Definitely my favorite sport overall.
All right, Phil, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for stopping down out of your busy schedule to spend with us here in Dallas on ESPN Radio. We really appreciate it.
Hey, a lot of fun talking to you guys this weekend, Matt and DJ, and we should do this more often.
Indeed we shall. Appreciate it, Phil. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care.